Controlling the Human Mind, The Last Frontier. Number one, this study will be some background and why God made and created us the way He did. We'll examine some of the things, the way that the human mind works, but this is going to be a very extended series. So we won't have it every Sabbath. We'll have it different Sabbaths. I have three books with me. I have two more at home, and I probably will end up with some more books. And the reason that there is so much research on the human brain is because of the influence of Satan the devil to control the human brain, and hence control all human beings. And that's why during the Feast of Tabernacles, day 3 and 4, I went through the singularity is near. And I realized that I did a lot of reading out of the book by Ray Kurzweil. But I think as we go down in time, you'll understand how important that is. And just a sidelight, this past week, Ray Kurzweil was in Silicon Valley in San Jose, and he was having a seminar with the leading chip makers. So they're going fast as they can to try and bring about the control that they desire. But what about the human brain? Let's look at something that's very important. Let's come here to Proverbs 4, and we will be back here probably quite a few times during the course of this series. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Here's a fundamental key in understanding about the mind and also the heart, because the heart, the mind, the brain, all connected together. Verse 23, page 775. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Purpose of life, where we're going, what we're doing, your choices. What you let into your mind is what comes out of your mind. Now, what I want you to do is memorize that verse, because this is so important in our day-to-day. Now, it would be nice if we could all live in some sort of hidden valley someplace, cut off from all the modern conveniences. Well, that might be hard for a lot of people. You know, they even had a TV show where they did that with the family. And man, did the kids rebel at first. No TV games! They had to make their own toys and work with animals and help dig up the ground and grow their own crops and grow their own food, raise chickens for their own eggs and meat, and cows for their milk and meat. And right at first, they had quite a rebellion. No television, no telephone, no internet, no Blackberries. Well, at the end of the year, they'd become so adjusted to it that they didn't want to leave. So it shows that a lot of the things that we get used to and the things that we have been taught, that we have been educated with, and a lot of this is so important when you talk about above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now you think of that in relationship today to education with kids. You think of that in relationship to what they are taught. And the children do not have a thought structure that is resistant to things that are not right when they're presented in acceptable ways. Now, we'll get into some of the subtleties of that a little later, but not here. think about this also in relationship just to something we do every day, watching television. Well, I try and watch the news, and I do a lot of watching of National Geographic and History Channel. But think about the commercials. And what I want you to do in relationship to this, I want you to do your own research in your own life. Sit down and just analyze, what do you watch on television? And what is the news that you believe? What are the commercials that enter into your mind? And what images does it really cause in your mind? Because they know. Let's just take the latest ad for the Super Lincoln. I forget what model it is, but the driver comes up to the car and he presses his entrance code on the window. And then he has his own handprint, which then has been sensitized and read into the door handle that he can open it. He gets into his car. And I was watching this the other night, and I thought, how does this sell a car? It's not selling the car. It's selling an emotional experience. So then, to start the car, he has again his bio-recognized finger for starting the engine, and then flashes a lightning, see, showing power. And then it shows the RPM going up and flashes of lightning around that. And then he's ready to take off in the car, and he puts his foot down on the gas, and the speedometer and the RPM go up with flashes of lightning around this, and he's going down the road in a flash of lightning, and you don't even see the car to see what it's like until the end, and they show you the front of it. See, they have sold an experience. See? That's how highly sophisticated it is. So when you watch these ads, I want you to think about, what are they selling? What are they teaching in addition to it? Because there are a lot of very, what they call, subliminal things that are put into the background, such as adultery, fornication, homosexuality, freedom of expression, resistance to authority, and of course, you have to hear both sides of the story, don't you? So think about all of those things. Do yourself a little favor. Maybe run, if you can't run a mental log on it, maybe run a little log that you can write down some things. Your impression of what they are trying to do to enter into your mind to get you to do something that they want you to do. So that's why it says here, above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And this is where choice comes in. This is where choice comes in. Now let's come here to Proverbs 16 and verse 1. Let's see some more Proverbs, and with this, you're going to be amazed how much through the course of the series we are going to be in the book of Proverbs and Psalms. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue are from the Lord. In other words, God made you so that you can think, that you can plan, that you have feelings, that you have emotions, that you can choose, that you can be persuaded, that you can be dissuaded, you can be subtly influenced if you allow it. And maybe you think, oh no, not me. All right. How about some poor, pitiful little person sobbing and crying and telling you a good, oh, heartbreaking story? And you help them out of the goodness of your heart. They had this right down here near where we meet. They had mommy and some kids out there in the corner of the street. Out of work, please help us. And the children are there. And people would come by and give them $5 and $10, you know, whatever. And so someone who lived in the neighborhood said, Fred, why don't you check out behind the Denny's restaurant? Because there's an RV back there, and you will find that there are three families doing this. That's how they make their living. So sure enough, I went behind Denny's, and there, guess what I saw? The RV. Kids run it. They ran it in shifts. If it gets too hot or too cold, then you change over, you know, so forth. So, God has made us so that we are subject to a lot of thoughts, our own thoughts, other people's thoughts. We are subject to feelings. We are subject to emotions, ours and others. And here is the thing that is the catch with the way that human beings think. And we're going to understand how the human brain really works and why God made it the way he did and what we need to do with God's Spirit on how we can really yield to God. Now, that will be through the course of the series that we're doing here. Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Everyone is right. Everyone can give you a justification and an excuse, regardless of how righteous, look at Job, or how evil, watch MSNBC when they run their hardened criminal series, and you see hardened criminals that are tattooed virtually from head to toe, and they interview them. And they know they're evil, they know they are dedicated, and they know they're right. Okay, question is in verse 1, preparations of the heart, that's how the heart, mind, and emotions work. And also what you put into it and how you give your output of it and the answer of the tongue, that is the answer that you give for what you think. Okay, and what you think then comes out this way. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And that's why they've exalted opinion today, see? You have an opinion, opinion is sacred. What is your opinion? What do you think? Well, nobody asked the question, what did God say that we need to think? Now, we're going to see some things here that are going to be very important in helping us understand about the human brain, the human mind, the emotions, and so forth. I've got one book here by Daniel G. Amen. I've quoted from it a little bit. Change your brain, change your life. That's why there's such a thing as conversion, because you can change. That's why there are people in the world who do well. He has another book, Making a Good Brain Great. All of those are very helpful. But you have the problem that they don't know anything about God. Oh, they take some principles of God, but they really don't know anything about God. Then I have another book just sent to me by Cynthia Kimball, entitled, Who Switched Off My Brain? Controlling Toxic Thoughts and Emotions. Now you see, this becomes very important because I'll just state right up front and we'll get into it a little later here. God made us to choose. God made us to think. God made us to decide. And We are responsible for our own thoughts and our own actions, and though others influence us, if we are not above all things guarding the door of our mind with all diligence, then we are allowing people to take us and teach us and put into our minds varying degrees of truth and falsehood. Now let's read verse 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Now we will also come back to this. God made us so that we need to think in a right and properly and orderly way. And the truth is this. You can never, 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 regardless of how smart you are, how good you are, how disciplined you are, what kind of life that you lead, to the very best that you can, without God, ever understand the purpose of life. Now notice, verse 4. The Lord has made all, or that is, everything that there is for his own purpose, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, let's understand a little bit more about human beings. Let's see and realize the things that we need to do. Let's, first of all, go back to the beginning. No? Yes. Let's go back to the beginning. All right. Genesis, the first chapter. How our minds and brains and hearts and emotions are to work. And God did not make us dunces. And God did not have to have a prototype man that was a near Neanderthal in order to figure out how to make us. I see Neanderthals every time I watch a little basketball or football. Yes. Let's come to Genesis 1. Now remember, it says that God made all, meaning everything that there is for his purpose. And the purpose of human beings is central to his purpose and plan. Now first of all, let's understand, go back to the sermon that I did on creation and recreation, and that will fill you in on the first part before the recreation of the earth. But in preparing the earth for the way that it is, God made it for human beings. And everything that is here on the earth, God gave to man for his own dominion. Now let's understand fundamental, very important thing concerning human beings. Verse 26. And God said, let us, now we have a full explanation on that in the appendices, the one who became the Father, the one who became the Son, let us make man in our image. You did not evolve from slime. After our likeness, in that in itself states a great purpose. And that God, as we will see, has put into us, built into us, certain profound things that are important for us in our relationship to him. And let them have dominion. Men were born to rule. They were created to rule. Great purpose. You take the whole earth, look at the whole earth, everything that is here with all the complexity of everything that there is, look at all of the activities of man from low tech to high tech to everything he can do, and those are all expressions of what God created within human beings. That's why we're after the likeness of God. Not only that, he created us to the highest level of our operation in life is not the physical things that we can do. Those are important. But above that, the most important thing that God did in creating humankind was to create us to give love and receive love. And that is, as we find in the New Testament, love is the greatest. He also gave in us the thoughts of hope. Whether we believe in God or not, people hope for better. People hope to do well. People plan to do well, don't they? Yes. And also faith or belief. Because a human mind was made to believe. Not like an animal. Not like a dog. A dog responds to control and food. Now, a dog does have feelings and what we would say emotion. And I think God did this to help even the most helpless of human beings, that when all else fails and they know nothing about God, that a dog will keep them from going insane. It also shows that human beings need companions. So all of these things are there. But why did God make us according to His image? Well, we'll leap ahead to the conclusion, and that is so that we can be after His kind. And that's the whole purpose of the Bible and the Word of God and the plan of God. And central to that is the human brain, the human mind, and choice, and love, and hope, and work, and dominion, and building, and all of these things. That's why God made us the way that He did. He created him, yes. He created them male and female. Now, God did this for the purpose of human beings sharing in His plan and creation to reproduce their own kind, who then will be reproduced by God after His kind, according to the conditions of God. So this is really something. This is tremendous what God has done. And in this whole thing concerning reproducing, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and so forth, it involves everything that God created man for, everything that God created woman for. Now notice, God is not stingy. People who think that God is a curmudgeon and is very restrictive have no idea about God. Let's read what he says here. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Do we? Yes, indeed. Over the fowl of heaven. Do we? Yes. Over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. Meaning that man rules and reigns over everything that God created on the earth, and He made it that way for man. Because man is a very complicated being, and with his mind and his thoughts and his heart, God created man and woman to rule, to reign, and to reproduce. Now, reproduction can be based on the way God wants it done, with love, with concern, with family, or man can turn into a near animal and just reproduce like some of the dictatorships have, you know, select the master race and all of the women can have specified men to produce specified babies for the empire. Yet in it, we're going to see that God created every human being in a unique and special way, and we are all unique to God. And that uniqueness is because of what we understand as genes and chromosomes. and every cell of your body, from the top of your head and hair down to the bottom of the soles of your feet, contain your genetic code as to who you are. It's even in your saliva, and everything that comes out of your body as well. Now that's pretty unique. So that shows the creation of God. But here, God wanted man to participate in his creation. Now we know that God created Adam from the dust of the dust of the earth, or the clay of the earth, as you could put it that way. And he made woman from one of his ribs. And all their children. Now, I don't know if Adam had a belly button or not, or whether Eve did. But I want you to think of something very profound here. Because as we read the first part of Genesis, that seems all so far away. And I know during the feast, I talked a little bit about check your belly button, because that shows that you came from your father and your mother. But it actually shows a whole lot more. When you go back and you read Luke, the third chapter, about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, where does it end up? Starting with Mary, where does it end up? Adam, the Son of God. So what does this tell us? This tells us the very fact that we have a belly button, we are related directly back to Adam in an unbroken chain of reproduction. So think on that. So this is quite a thing right here, this first chapter of Genesis that God tells us. This shows that man has all these abilities, all these skills, and it's diverse in the different people to do different things. And God made it that way. Now let's see how God creates human beings through procreation. Let's come to Psalm 139. Now we're going to learn an awful lot here with this, because this is really quite a psalm. And this is something we really need to understand, and also to help our children to understand. Psalm 139. This is a special psalm of David. Psalm 139, page 768. Verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. See, God knows every human being, whether good or evil, who they are, what they are. He knows everything about them at any time he desires to know. But because he's given choice, he does not come down here and communicate with us directly. This is one of the mysteries of God. How does he know that everything that's going on in the world, and yet does not interfere to take away your choice and to take away your ability? But he knows us. You know my sitting down and my rising up, because you made me to stand and walk and talk. You understand my thoughts afar off, because he made us with the brain that we have. You measure my going about, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. How do your hands work? How do your feet work? How do your arms and legs work? How does your mind work? Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. Who created language? God did. This is also telling us he knows what's going on in our minds, doesn't it? Verse 5. He set limits on us. We can only go so far and do so much. Now, we can stretch out some of those limits, like we have in going to the moon. But we have to take the earth with us, don't we? We have to take food, because there's no food on the moon. We have to take we have to take air with us, or they have to be able to, through a machine, create oxygen in space so you can breathe. And they've also found out that if you're out in space too long, that you lose bone density, that you're, that the blood doesn't go the way it really needs to go, and the heart gets weak and the vessels get weak because we are really earthbound. So they're trying to substitute some of that on the space station that they have up there by having some sort of artificial gravity to help keep men more human and in better shape rather than disintegrating because they're out in space. But nevertheless, we're limited. You have enclosed me behind and in front and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And that's the thing everyone wants. How did God do this? How does he operate? Well, the whole purpose of conversion is to understand more how God operates, and we'll get into conversion much later because that's the whole purpose as to why we're here. Now notice verse 7. For all of you who say there is no God, I want you to think about this. Where shall I go from your spirit? How are you going to get away from God? Who created the air? Who created oxygen? Who gave you the ability to breathe and think? And yes, even to come to the conclusion that there is no God. God did. But don't forget, he's not done with you yet. See? So if you don't believe in God, let's look at another psalm here and then we'll come back. Now for all of the intelligentsia out there who do not believe in God, and you think you're so smart, and you think that you have the ability to improve human beings to near God-like qualities, let me assure you, you are limited. Psalm 53, page 728. The fool has said in his heart, so you convince yourself, there is no God. Now what happens when people come to that conclusion? They feel free to do anything that they want, and any opinion that they choose, they will follow. And it always comes down to sexual morals more than anything else, because we're sexual creatures. God made us that way for the purpose of sharing in his creation, not for the purpose of becoming adulterers, adulteresses, whoremongers, and homosexuals, and lesbians. What happens to everyone who doesn't believe in God, regardless of what kind of standard that they may have, like the famous atheist who was on television here several years ago many times? Michael Newdow, I think that's it. But anyway, he wants to take God out of everything in the government documents, God out of you know, the back of the dollars, in God we trust, and that's not true. We don't trust in God. We trust in the Federal Reserve. A lot of people think that it is God, and they act like God. And the commentator, I think it was Sean Hannity, said, do you have a religion? He said, oh yes, I'm religious. And his religion is atheism, but he steals from God because he doesn't believe in adultery, one of the few atheists, you see. He doesn't believe in murder. Isn't that lovely? God, get out of my life, but I want to take this of the Ten Commandments, and this is the Ten Commandments, because I agree with them. But I'm not going to give you any credit for it, you see. They are corrupt, every one of them. They have worked out abominable wickedness. There is no one who does good. Because just like David wrote back there in Psalm 139, verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, that is, God's way, who are seeking after God. You look at it today. Everyone is turned away. They have altogether become filthy. No one is doing good. No, not even one. And why is that? Well, we'll talk about that a little later when we get to Job. See, Job missed the whole point. He forgot the belly button check. He claimed everything that he did was his righteousness, but everything he did was demanded by God, and God's righteousness that he was following, not his own. So he missed the whole point. And this is what they're all missing here, you see. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? They eat up my people as they eat bread. In other words, spread their filth through the society. They have not called upon God, though they steal his laws and cast them behind their back. There they were in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who camps against him, you have put them to shame because God has rejected them. So this is talking about their ultimate fate. Now let's come back here to Psalm 139. See, so even if you're an atheist, you can't get away from God. God created you through your mother and father. God gives you every breath of air that you breathe, every heartbeat that you have. God gave it. Now, if God ran by your rules in your hatred toward those who believe in God, and you would want to eliminate those who believe in God, if God instantly struck every atheist down dead, be a whole lot more people believe in God, right? But he doesn't do it because he's given choice. See? Because of what happened with Adam and Eve. We'll get to that a little later so we can understand about human nature and how we work and function. But first of all, I want to talk about the creation of you as a human being by your parents, and you have nothing, 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 nothing that you didn't receive because God made it all. So he goes on saying here, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. Can't get away from God because he made the heavens, made the earth, made the depths of the earth, etc. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, or go into space and go to the moon or go to Mars. Even there your hand will lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me. Far as God is concerned, I don't know if you've seen any of these series that they run on the History Channel, but the underground cities. Watch that sometime. The evil that men have done underground is incredible down through history. Now verse 12. Yea, the darkness does not hide from you. It's like the little girl said when mommy said, you better be a good girl because God is watching. And she looked at the ceiling and said, how can God look through the ceiling, Mommy? He doesn't have to keep track of you the way you think that you keep track of things, because everything that you do is recorded in your brain. Every thought, every action, every emotion, and even trauma You've heard of post-traumatic stress? Because trauma comes back. Why? Because it's recorded in your brain. Let's go to the next track, please.